Think shining classical music stars. Chances are they're white. A new podcast hopes to change that. Every Voice with Terrence McKnight launches today to explore voices of color in classical music. Season one, the problematic portrayals of black characters in opera. And Terrence McKnight of WQXR in New York joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Robin Young.
Launching today, and we know you're kind of immersed in putting this together. What was it you were trying to say with this whole podcast?
There's so many things. I think perhaps the first and most important thing is what, you know, music has always been about for me, and that's connecting people. And I think that an art form as old as opera has so many opportunities to connect people across demographics, all sort of demographics. And, you know, when you step into the opera house, you don't see that. You don't see a wide range, a wide spectrum of America. Let's just talk about America. You just don't see a wide spectrum of Americans. And so for me, as a musician, as a radio host, you know, there's opportunity there. And so here's an opportunity for me to use music, my passion for people and humanity, to have a conversation that can bring more people together.
Mm-hmm. And bring more of an awareness. So you're starting in this first series to look at four black figures in works by Mozart and Verdi. Talk about those figures and what we might think we know, if we know a little opera, and what you want us to know.
So the first opera that we are dealing with is Mozart's Magic Flute. I wanted to deal with this opera because there is a figure, a guy named Monastatos, and he's depicted as the chief slave. And in many productions, he has been portrayed by white singers who had to wear dark makeup, you know, and that's become very problematic, you know, recently. Mm-hmm. And not only does he have to wear dark makeup and enslaved, but he's like a buffoon in some productions, tries to commit sexual assault. So you have this depiction of the one black character who is all of those things. Now, this is 1791, so it was like the height of the slave trade. For me, I would be concerned about how people were looking at me or if they were making a connection between him on stage and the guy sitting in row L. And so that's why we chose this opera, so we can find ways of looking at this character, not as a buffoon, but somebody who deserves some empathy. You know, we're not going to get rid of Magic Flute, but we can change the way we think about it. We can change the way directors look at it. It's been changed over the years, so he's not often depicted as a black man anymore. Sometimes he's green or sometimes he's purple, and they do all kinds of things to take the language out, because the language in there, he says, "I am black and black is ugly." Alles in der Liebe Freude schnell betendet, er zu küssen. Und ich soll die Liebe meiden,
weil ein Schwarzer hässlich ist, weil ein Schwarzer hässlich ist. So, Terrence, what do we do with this? As you said, you're not going to get rid of the Magic Flute. Do we somehow change the way this performance is done to make him more sympathetic?
I do. And, you know, Robin, I'm not an opera director, but I think if we can get in the ears of the directors, who will perhaps find a way to bring some more humanity to this character. Sometimes it could be as simple as slowing down the music and not making it so comedic in those moments where Monastatos is really begging to be seen and to be heard and to be loved. And he's not someone who's trying to necessarily commit sexual assault.
You know, you mentioned that people performed in blackface because black people, certainly enslaved people, were not going to be singing these roles. And this just happened, last year in a performance of Aida in Verona?
That's right. I think Anna Netrebko, there were some people who were very upset with her browning up to play Aida.
Well, let's talk about Aida, Verdi's Aida. the star in the opera and the Ethiopian princess captured by an Egyptian commander. And here we have Leontine Price singing the aria O Patria Mia, where she's singing of missing her homeland. Just like crystal. Terrence McKnight, what more did you want to say about this role?
Well, you know, my parents are from Mississippi, as is Leontine Price, so I have an affinity to her career and to her voice and to her walk. One thing I remember from seeing, just from my research, is that when she sang Aida, there was a production where she had to wear a blonde wig.
She's playing an Ethiopian princess.
Yeah, that's right. And so here again, and it comes up in Magic Flute, because Monostatos says that he falls in love with white, and white is beautiful. And that's part of the issue that, you know, some of the singers have, having to say that. And so here we have this Ethiopian princess, you know, and Leontine Price, who is cast with a blonde wig. You know, I think that may have been in the 50s. Maybe we're not there anymore, you know, but I remember seeing Aida. I was in Georgia, and I took one of my East African friends with me. And I was so happy to take her to see Aida. And when we got there, 12 minutes in, she leaned over and said, T, why are the Ethiopians black and the Egyptians white? And I just sunk down in my chair. And there have been productions where these brown-skinned Ethiopians, as they're often cast, are in ropes or chains on stage. And Ethiopians are very proud of the fact that of all of the continent that was carved up and colonized, that Ethiopia fought against it. But now we have on stage the Ethiopians enslaved by Egyptians who in many presentations are cast as Caucasians.
What do we do about the chains? If this was something that Verdi envisioned, do you change it? Because it's maybe not historically accurate?
I'm not sure. I don't have all the answers, except to say that we have to be able to look at these works with understanding of the historical context. But the bottom line, again, is to be able to try and cast these things fairly. And I don't think I wouldn't be as bothered if the Ethiopians were in ropes and all of the cast were black folks, because we cannot shed that baggage of, you know, slavery being something that was cast upon Africans by Europeans.
Are you cheered by the stories? Like, I'm thinking of Limmy Pulleyn, who quit singing because of fat shaming. He was overweight. He became a security guard. He worked on the Obama campaign. And because somebody didn't show up to sing the national anthem in some stadium, he ended up singing it. And then he makes his way back to the opera stage. Here he is singing Si Pelchel from Otello, another opera you cover in the series.
I think each individual story can inspire someone. And, you know, Limmy, his story is just incredible. You know, here's someone who grew up singing and came from a large family, sang in church and just had a wonderful, distinct voice. And now for him to be able to place that voice in a hall deserving of his talent is just a phenomenal story. And imagine that little boy or girl, you know, they hear Limmy and it's inspiring. That's what it's about. It's about inspiring the next generation and inspiring someone else.
That's WQXR's Terrence McKnight. His new 16-episode podcast series, Every Voice with Terrence McKnight, debuts today. We'll link you up at herenow.org. Terrence, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for having me.